everyone, and welcome to the press conference of the film of the official section Alpha, The Right to Kill. And to talk about that film, we have the pleasure of Carlo Valenzona, the producer, Bright Spirito, who is the scriptwriter, the director, Brillante Mendoza, and the Alain Disson, who is the main protagonist of the film. And as usual, to start off with, could Brillante Mendoza tell us how this project emerged?
Was a film version of the series I did for TV5, which was acquired by Netflix. It's called Amo. So we did Carlo, was it like 10 series?
13 episodes.
Sorry, 10
episodes.
10 episodes. So a culmination of this episode is the film version, which is The Right to Kill. Because I also have the same lead character. One of them was Alan, and that guy over there is also one of the lead character in Amo. This was shown on Netflix worldwide.
Bien, gracias. No sé si hay preguntas.
I'm not too sure whether there are any questions. Yes, there's a question in the second row.
About the environment, the policemen, I suppose it was real policemen, and they approve previously the script. How works that?
They didn't see the script, but I spoke with the head, with the chief of the Philippine National Police about this project, and I think it was clear with them the intent of the film, and they were real policemen. Most of the policemen in the film are real policemen, just to make sure that all their actions, all the dialogue are authentic and real. That's why we got the services of real policemen. We've been very supportive with the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sí, hay más preguntas.
Any further questions? There's another question and one in the back. The first one here.
First of all, congratulations for the movie. I find it very sincere, very descriptive, almost a documentary, right? Plus with the impact of the beauty of fiction on top of this. I find it hard to believe, though, that the authorities did not try to... it is too sincere. Did you have any problems with that, with the society, with the police force, with the government? I mean, with authorities in general.
Well, it has always been with my films. It has always been the case. I've started making films utilizing the found story method of filmmaking. And in a found story, we always start with a real character or a real person with a unique experience to more or less to show what's really happening in our society. I've always been interested with authenticity. I've always been interested with real stories of ordinary people affected by the society.
Mm-hmm. Teníamos otra ahí, detrás.
There's another question in the back.
That's from the film. I wanted to ask you, what's been the opinions in the Philippines? Because we see corruption, we see a killing squad, so everybody has the impression that this is a harsh critic against Duterte's fight against drugs.
What about that? I think it's known all over the world what's happening in our country, and everybody have their own opinion. But unfortunately, not everyone have been to the Philippines. you always need hear and you know, hear and see the news. Sometimes they're a bit exaggerated. Sometimes they're a bit you know, overboard. And yes, I must admit there is a situation in the Philippines. There are problems in the Philippines, and there may be killings, which I haven't really witnessed myself. But these are the, this is the situation in our country, which I also try to portray, which I also try to show in my films, without being political, without siding any personality. And I think as a filmmaker, we should always be truthful with our storytelling, with our film, more than with a person, more than with anyone else. So that's I'm always been an advocate of truth and honesty in my film.
I must say.
Are there any further questions?
Si, no.
If not, and going along. Okay, can you hear me? Yes, can you hear me? Is it okay? Can you hear me? Yes? Yes, okay, good, good, okay. Going along the lines of the question that you've asked, as we've got Troy, the scriptwriter of the film, Troy, and you were the scriptwriter of Amo, of also the TV series, is that correct? Could Troy tell us a bit about how he worked on the script and extend a bit more about how he wrote the script and so on and so forth? Troy?
Undergo siya sa ng intensive research and immersion. So basically, nag-interview muna kami ng mga people involved with the underground world, people involved with illegal drugs, police who are involved with these kinds of, you know, situations. And of course, eventually, yung immersion napaka-importante nun because you have to absorb these people, you have to look within them or inside them so that pag sinulat ko na siya, it's as if ako yung character na sinusulat ko. So,
yes. He means that when he wrote the story, he felt that he was the character involved.
Sorry, we have translation in the...
Oh, okay.
No, thank you. No. We're going to use English.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. We speak Tagalog.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you very much.
You can... No, okay. Sorry. We also have Alan here with us. Perhaps Alan could tell us a bit about what his experience was after Amor, because you were also in the TV series. How did you work? How did you construct? How did you get into the skin of your character, this policeman, Alan?
Research for my role, especially the first one with Direk Brillante, the Amor. I am also the policeman. But it's the same role with Alpha, because it's a corrupt policeman. So in real life, I'm not the police, so I'm just portraying the role, and I am against also the what doing the character. So it's also for me, it's a challenge, very challenging role. Uh-huh. for doing this this movie Alpha.
Yeah. Gracias. Más preguntas.
Any further questions? Any further? Yes, in the second row. Good morning. First of all, congratulations for the film. Above all, what drew my attention was that in the first for half an hour, the rhythm was very, almost an absence of dialogues in the first half hour. And when in films, we're used to having the actors repeating what we're saying, but I thought that was marvelous, the way that first half hour, the rhythm of the first half hour. I have no idea about the films in Philippines. Could you talk to us about the films and how much of an influence in your style of filmmaking has the political, how has the strong crackdown that the Philippine government and the police have on drugs, how has that affected the way that you shot the film?
If you're familiar with my aesthetics in filmmaking, it has always been utilizing the found story method. And found, we base everything on real life situation, real life character, and then we apply the principle of found story. That's why in found, it has to be socialized, meaning that the story doesn't just stay with the character. The story has to revolve around the society or around the environment, and that's one of the major characteristics of found. So that's what we apply. That's what I applied in doing this film. It's like a docudrama. There is like a thin line of it being real and it being rock documentary, because even the way we filmed it, even the way the actors were delivering their lines or acting, it was all based in found. Even the cinematography and the way it was edited, it was all based on the principle of found story. So that's part of the whole aesthetics. In my previous films, Marosa, this principle was also applied. And so with the rest of my films, like Kinatay, which was also shown here in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the documentary and the relationship your films have, fiction and documentary, how do you work? You've got professional actors, but the other people who appear in your films are not professional actors. How do you film, in, for example, in the on location in Manila? Because it looks very authentic. How is the shooting technique, shooting out in the out on location in the streets of Manila? How was that?
It has always been very challenging to incorporate non-professional actors with a professional actor. But at the same time, the benefit and the plus factor of utilizing non-professional actors is that they're very authentic. They're very real in what they do. They know exactly, like for instance, the policeman which I use, they know exactly what to do. The people from the street actually, well, you need to develop a certain kind of technique to be able to utilize these people on the street, but at the same time incorporating some extras. So normally we get the services of extras. We get about 50 extras, and then we incorporate them with real people walking on the street. But, you know, we have, in the Philippines, there's this culture of when they see people filming, they love to be seen in the camera. And when you tell them that, okay, please don't look at the camera, do not smile, they would easily oblige. Yes. Like, for instance, in Europe, mm-hmm. you cannot do this. Yeah. I mean, people would, you know, they would insist on their privacy. And but I think that's one thing nice about filming in the Philippines. Everybody are, you know, as you can see in the film, nobody's, you know, looking. They're very cooperative. So. But of course, you need to develop a certain kind of technique, and this technique didn't happen overnight. You know, with so many films that I did in the past, I think my 13th or 14th film, and I've always applied this principle, this technique of incorporating professional with non-professional.
Mm-hmm. Sí, tenemos una pregunta.
Yes, we have a question there. Hi. Mr. Brillante Mendoza, I'm Gonzalo, I'm from Peru. My question is the following. I think that in Philippine cinema, the Abdias, well, there's a symbolic criticism of what's happening in the Philippines in the past, but you've been very blunt in you've denunciated enormously the drug problem in Philippines in your film. Weren't you concerned that what's going to happen with Rodrigo Duterte, for example, or perhaps he's not interested in your film, aren't you afraid that, for example, that you may receive threats due to the situation in the Philippines because of the subject matter that you've dealt with in the film and how blunt you were? Aren't you concerned, maybe?
It's not really like I'm concerned about my, I'm not concerned about my life, but this is that the first film I did with this kind of political. I did a film, for instance, with Isabel Huppert about the Abu Sayyaf, about the extremists, you know, who lives in the southern part of the Philippines. I also did Kinatay, where I won the best director in Cannes, about a corrupt policeman. I've got. I never got any threats. I. And it's not that I am not afraid. It's just that, for as long as I am true to my work, and for as long as I don't really, even if the film you see it kind of political, but you know, situations like this, they happen. So, and I am not into a particular person or personality. I am against not the person, but the institution. That's why in the film, the character of Alan is not really representative of the institution. Alan is, situation is a personal story. It's only him, you know, it's him being a corrupt policeman. Now, the interpretation of the audience about the institution being corrupt is already your interpretation. Yes. So it's not like I am saying in your face that the institution is corrupt. So we didn't say that. I didn't say that in the film, you know, I just show the personal situation of Alan. So,
pero respecto a la,
but as regards to the reaction of the towards the film, perhaps the reaction to the TV series Amo, which deals with the same issue, how was the reaction in Philippines of the audience? How did the series, how was it received by the audience in the Philippines? I'm talking about the TV series Amo.
Before Amo was shown, I've got a lot of criticisms because in the past I've been doing the State of the Nation address of the president. So people always associated me with the president of the Philippines, and especially the art community of the Philippines. So I've always been criticized because of that situation. But the State of the Nation address has nothing to do with my work. I they just got my services because I'm a filmmaker, and they got also the services of other filmmaker for the State of the Nation address, like in the previous administration, not only in this administration. So I took it like it's a work. So when the Amo was before it was released, I was criticized a lot because they told me that people will tell me that it's a propaganda for the government even before it was shown. So of course that's their opinion. But when Amo was shown, everybody stopped. They just stopped criticizing me because it's not definitely a propaganda. It's a story of the situation of the Philippines, and it's a truthful story and depiction of the situation of the Philippines without siding any political party or any personality for that matter. So, in a way, generally it was good. Generally, the reception of the series was very good. I would get email from different parts of the world, you know, praising the film and seeing it as a film or seeing it as a TV series, and not a political propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question there. I have a question to the director. Where would you like... Where would you prefer for the film to have the best results, in Philippines itself or abroad?
Mm-hmm. I make a film for everyone. I think whenever a filmmaker or a storyteller makes a film, you just don't want to be specific and particular about a certain kind of audience. You want your film as much as possible to be shown, you know, to audience all over the world. But regardless, of course, this is about the Philippines. This is about the Filipinos. Of course, as a Filipino and as a Filipino filmmaker, I would love my film to have a better and good reception in the Philippines, because this is about the Filipino people and the situation in our country.
We have time for one more question. Yes, over there. I want to ask the director. It's a fiction and almost real, with real things, but what's your personal opinion about the way the president is fighting against drugs? What's your opinion about how your president is fighting against drugs in the Philippines at the present moment, albeit the film is a documentary and it has real facts in it at the same time?
Well, my personal opinion about the situation in our country is, I think, should remain a personal opinion, because I would rather have my opinion as a filmmaker and personal opinion separate. I don't want my film, I don't want my own philosophy and opinion to be all present in my film, because then it becomes a propaganda. So in the film, it's just a depiction, like what I've always said, a depiction of the situation in the country. My personal opinion remains with myself. And I don't want that to be an influence in my film.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sí, ¿querías hacer? Ah, vale. Bueno.
Okay. Perhaps in order to finish the press conference, and as we've got, and I would like Carlo Valenzona, the producer, to finish, could you explain how you set up the project, whether the success of the TV series helped you, or how did you how did the production process come around?
Magandang araw po sa inyo lahat. Bilang producer po ng pelikulang ito, ang trabaho ko ay makapaghanap ng totoong mga locations, katulad ng totoong police stations, totoong kalsada, mga totoong bahay ng isang... ...mamanonood. So bilang producer, isa sa mga responsibilidad ko ay ang magkwento ng makatotohanan, dahil yun po ang style ng director namin, yung realism cinema.
My objective as a producer is just to find places so we could show the reality of the city. And as it's the same idea of the director, I coincide with the director. That is, you're finding places that will show the reality of the city. Thank you. I think if there are no further questions, I want to thank Brillante and his crew that have come along with his film. We want to wish them the best of luck today in the premiere of the film and in its future career abroad. Thank you.
Be here, finally.
Thank you.
Thank you.